When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on the No More Late Fees podcast, our friends from the Bruh Meets World podcast, Siege and TC, are back. And seeing how last time went, this is going to be some fun because we got a lot of compliments on how much everyone enjoyed the Drumline episode. So
yes, we love to hear it.
We're happy to be back. We're happy to discuss with you guys this movie, which I was telling Siege, my first time watching it. So you are getting a fresh take from me.
Nice. I'm stoked.
This is not my first time watching it. And I will say it was unlocking memories. And I'm so excited to talk about just like the type of movie that this is. Like, yeah. Like there is so much to say about like when, where, and how this movie exists that I'm like, yes, like let's talk about the wood.
Well, before we dive into some fun and games really quick, why don't you guys catch us up? What's been new over at Bruh Meets World? What's going on? We did see that you guys did an episode on Quiet on the Set, and there's a lot going on.
Well, you yeah. said it. We've been, you know, we had an episode on the reviewing Quiet on Set, which I think was like one of our most streamed episodes we've ever done. Like people were interested in engaging in that conversation, and you know, definitely understand the reasonings why. It was a hard conversation for us to have, so I think that this is going to be a nice contrast to that.
Yeah.
It's been really kind of interesting being a voice of this specific community of nostalgia during this time, because I think that, you know, me and Siege are kind of in a unique position to talk about specifically the Boy Meets Worldness of it all,
yeah,
as well as just kind of unpack the other stuff. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. To Tony's point, I think that you said what's been going on with us, and we've been very fortunate to like have our audience grow, and we get to talk about all of these really interesting things, and then also made friends with, you know, a lot of the writers and behind the scenes. We're learning more about the behind the scenes of Hollywood in general. But when you do that, you learn some other things. Like not everything you learn is good. And being able to have those conversations has been really helpful and cathartic for us, but also for our audience to just kind of like be like, hey, we're in it with you. Like I think a lot of the millennial experience is that whole, I'm not crazy, right? I'm not the only one who is having a hard time with this. And so, yeah, being able to share our experiences and our thoughts on the good and bad of nostalgia has really been rewarding.
Yeah, I think, I hope that this, you know, opens the door for more child stars to come out and speak about their experiences. But I think one of the backlashes of all of this is seeing how people are trying to pressure child stars and harass them. So that's been, you know, disheartening, people not really understanding that celebrities don't owe us an explanation on anything. But I think it's also opening a really big, like you were saying, from a nostalgia standpoint, a big conversation about our parasocial relationships with celebrities, with the TV shows we grew up with, music. Like, how are we able to enjoy, consume ethically?
Yes.
I think the question might be, is it even possible, knowing that it's like a root of a tree is rotten and so
there's
much.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Right. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's one of the things that you have to learn. I don't know. Have you guys, have both of you seen The Good Place?
Yes.
Okay. So like, again, like at this point in time, I feel like we're in The Good Place where it's like, look, either drink your almond milk and know that it's like, not exactly the most ethically sourced thing to do, but you can't be responsible for everything. You gotta do what you can. You gotta be mindful about what you are consuming. And just understand that the word that Tony and I used was nuance. A lot of this is nuanced. A lot of this is layered, and a lot of this is systemic. So, you know, do what you can to make sure that it doesn't repeat itself. But as far as time's gone back, the best we can do is listen to each other's stories and figure out, you know, how to move forward as a community.
I also think it's a welcome challenge to, you know, if you think about the Hollywood blacklist and you think about how that compares to cancel culture or whatever, to just kind of say, like, what am I allowed to enjoy from this? Like, can I still watch a Cosby Show episode? If can I still sing I Believe I Can Fly? Like, can I still watch all that? Like, at what point am I making that decision? And we all have to do that individually. And I think that what I've learned is that I can't judge someone else based off of the line that they put in the sand versus the line that I put in the sand.
I definitely think that the Black community really needs to work on calling in certain things. And I think it's highlighting what issues we have in our own community. Forget like the general population, you know, it's crazy to me that even now in 2024, so many people are backtracking and they're like rocking R. Kelly again. And I'm just like, I feel like people are scumbags in general, but when you hurt children, it just, I mean, because he was hurting young girls. You know, and I don't know, as much as I love Ignition and the remix, I just can't push myself to do it. But I've had this conversation with my friend Shayla about really where the line is personally, because we all have our faves, right? We're so righteous about certain things until our faves get called out. And then it's like, but, you know, you know, it's... Like Harrison Ford is my favorite. Love him. I would marry him tomorrow. Yes, he's 80 something years old. Yes, he's probably an alcoholic, allegedly. But I love that man up and down. But he also went across the world to give Roman Polanski his Oscar situation. I can't forget that.
It's all complicated. And I think part of the quiet on set thing is like, man, can we just enjoy anything purely anymore? Does everything have to have this duality that we have to struggle with internally and make sense of in order for us to even just try to enjoy it? Like, I think that's what the genesis of all of this kind of public outcry is. It's just us feeling like we don't have anything sacred anymore.
But the answer to that is yes. And I think like that's like, to me, I'm so much more of like a harsh reality parent, where I'm like, yes, the reality is nothing here is untainted. So you gotta figure out how to enjoy yourself and, you know, acknowledge the bad and be like, hey, I don't approve of what Harrison Ford did. Maybe I won't, you know, contribute to his GoFundMe if he ever has one. But as far as Indiana Jones goes, that's going in my DVD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. We all have to make that line in the sand. I think what's hardest about Quiet on the Set is that it's children.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. No, and here's the thing. There are certain things where it's like, I personally, I'm standing my ground. I am not, that's not something that I want to participate in. But to Tony's point, I do think it's funny as to what gets removed and what gets pulled and what we don't have in syndication, because we understand that as a community or as a nation, this should not be profitable. And what we're like, I mean,
right? Black community, Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
they're like, well, we ain't got no proof. We ain't got no proof. It's MJ.
I will still die on that hill.
And then I don't know. I find it really interesting, because what this did made me start to look back at all the teen stars.
Yeah.
And so I started actually looking, and I was going to do like a video of just thinking about the people we missed, the child stars from the 90s, because it's not just suicide, but a lot of them died from drugs. And you have to put two and two together that they probably were doing the drugs because of things that happened to them. And then I went down a Leonardo DiCaprio hole. And
you also signed this episode.
Like we were like, oh, he don't just likes young girls, and we're like, nah, it's more than that.
There's so much. It's crazy.
Well, when I was telling Siege, Siege was like, I can't even like listen to a Mariah Carey song without hearing Diddy pop up being like, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Like, get off of everyone else's record. Like, so yes. many records are tainted now because you just had the dance in the back of this music video.
my friend said to me, I always believe Suge. I was like, what? Suge Knight?
When did Suge Knight become the voice of reason? What timeline are we in?
But I the Diddy thing is one thing, but now I'm having a full-on panic because this is where it's that fave thing. Okay, Beyonce.
Ah, the Jay-Z of it all?
We're getting
I don't know how much she's enmeshed in that. You can't think of it separately. You can't.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you that you can't think of it separately, but I will say that, a lot of that to me is like, this is nothing new. You know, it's like, this is not new. We all are waiting. We're waiting to see how much information comes out. We're waiting to see what comes onto it. And then you deal with it when it does come out. I think that's another thing, at least for me, that I've learned is like, I'm trying not to anticipate something that I don't know anything on, because that's just stressing me out. If she ain't thinking about it, if she ain't dealing with it, why am I over here stressed?
She's gotta have a plan though.
And here's the thing. I guarantee you she does. So yeah. I'm waiting to see what that plan is.
I fully support this divorce.
Act four. Yeah. Act four divorce.
And when it happens or whatever happens, we will all come collectively and have our own thoughts and conversations. But I personally try not to get ahead of anything, because one of the things that we learned with our Quiet On Set commentary is it's kind of been rolling out, and we made like statements and we had opinions and then got more information and we were like, well, actually we got to hold ourselves accountable because we may have spoke too soon. And I think that's kind of like where I'm at with it, where it's like, I will speak about what I have, what I'm aware of and what I know about. And to your point, I know where my line in the sand is, especially when it comes to like child actors. And that I can have a very hard stance on. But as far as a grown woman and her husband, I'll let that divorce come across my feed when it does.
And really what I hope that this does in general is make us go, these celebrities are just as flawed, if not more so, than the rest of us. Like, no one should be put into the stratosphere that, you know, in the culture that we were raised in the 90s and the early 2000s, celebrities were the kings and queens of America in so many ways. And so I hope that we can just take an honest look at what celebrity culture is and kind of peel that back a little bit more.
And it's starting to happen. Like, you see it with J-Lo right now, where everyone's like, hold on.
We were just talking about that.
We were just talking about J-Lo. Someone said, I love this. Someone said that Justin Timberlake is the male J-Lo. And I was like, oh, that's right. Like, they are both in that camp right now of not truly understanding where your place is. Like I said this a while ago, J-Lo, why don't you just go find you a white man that you could star in a movie with and not be a Hispanic and just make another rom-com? We love rom-com J-Lo.
Yeah.
Miss, I don't have a set background. I'm racially ambiguous, but I fall in love. That's good for us. That's your lane. Stay there.
That's your lane. Can I tell you my favorite thing about J-Lo real fast? You know, obviously J-Lo was really butthurt that she had to share the Super Bowl with Shakira a few years ago. And both J-Lo and Shakira released albums this year. And I think on J-Lo's newest album, I think there's one song that has like over a million streams, or like one or two songs. On Shakira's, hundreds of millions of streams. Like, Shakira is doing so much significantly better than J-Lo in the way that makes me look back at that Super Bowl and be like, you actually lucky she was there, girl.
I think we have to remember that Shakira is a worldwide phenomenon. Like, Shakira is huge. I think it also has something to do with like understanding how America is not the global center that it used to be. Like, it's a big deal, but like, Shakira's numbers, it's the same thing. Like, people would talk about Tom Brady and Giselle, and people had the audacity to be like, oh, Giselle is leaving Tom. What is she thinking? It's like, y'all don't understand how that power works. Giselle is a force, an international name. Tom Brady is known in this country for one thing. Giselle is known globally. And
people in the Bronx don't even like J-Lo. Like, Latinos don't claim her. So, like, it's, you know, it is what it is.
And Giselle's a witch, so.
Oh,
I don't know why. I don't know why Tom Brady was fucking around with her. So,
is
like,
she a witch?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know this part.
That would explain all his victories.
Exactly. He would, if you listen to some interviews, he talks about how she tells him, she would tell him certain things. And he, you know, at first he said he would be like, but then eventually he was like, oh, okay. And I think she had told him to sit his ass down, right? And he didn't listen. So, and like, they really did a good job covering up that crypto stuff that he was behind.
Way too many celebrities got into crypto shit. That is so sketch.
That should be, he should be in jail. And also, the best thing that came out of it was that Ryan Atwood, that's what I call him, from the OC.
Ben McKenzie.
Oh,
he became like this huge advocate against.
He's like, crypto. This shit's dumb.
Best thing that ever happened. But all right.
To this day, he's basically saying, welcome to the OC, bitch. Just in his own way. Yes.
Oh, I did want to talk about this with you guys really quick. So you saw that the news said that the Legally Blonde is going to be turned into a TV show. So Reese Witherspoon and her production company is going to produce a TV show. And so a lot of people were talking about like, oh, well, is she going to be in it? They weren't sure. But the way that I read it was that, you know, Legally Blonde 3 is in production, has been in production before, I want to say even before COVID maybe. I think Mindy Kaling was supposed to be writing it. So they had been working on Legally Blonde 3. And she said that she is looking forward to playing this character in her 40s. But what made me think that this TV show is not going to star her and she's going to be producing it, and then maybe there'll be another person playing that role, is because Josh Ward, who is the creator behind Gossip Girl and the OC, is going to be the showrunner. Him and what's the other girl's name? Stephanie something.
We're getting Savage. Like a teen drama Legally Blonde?
I think so. Yeah. If they're behind it, why? I don't know.
I'm getting hints of Scandal meets Gossip Girl. You know, like
you know what? Can I say something to that?
Yeah.
We're really squeezing all the juice out of this fruit that we can. Yeah. A sequel and a TV show. Give me one or the other. And honestly, like a TV show, I mean, I trust Reese because all of her TV shows that she's done have actually been really well done.
Yeah.
I think I would much rather see like a little series versus a movie. I think that would be more interesting.
I agree.
I do think that we have to remember that Amazon bought MGM, right? All of these studios are trying to not bet on anything new, but because they bought MGM, that means they have access to all of this OG content, and they're just going to try to make as much money as they possibly can, and to a new audience.
I'm sure it'll be just as good as Coming to America too. Like, do we trust Amazon at this point, guys?
No. That was horrible. Except Wesley Snipes was the best part of that horrendous nonsense.
I think of Black Excellence.
No. Nah.
The Wood.
Come on, Segway.
Well, why don't we get you guys to give your employee picks, make you guys honorary Blockbuster employees again. Ooh. And pick three movies that you would recommend to our audience each.
Could they be in this vein?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
Oh, because, all right, so I was thinking a lot about this, and when we get into, like, the bigger conversation, I will say that, like, this movie reminded me of Soul Food, like, when we, like, around this time, I think, another one that I'm pretty sure you guys have covered already, but, like, I just was getting hints of is the movie Now and Then, you know, that stars Rosie O'Donnell, Demi Moore, Christina Ricci, like, that, like, you know, the whole back and forth of like the age dynamics.
So true.
And then I see it up here, and it is just a underrated gem of a movie, BAPS, BAPS yes. is one of those movies where I am like, I don't know if it would ever get made today, but that had such a hold on us as me and my sister as children. And I can quote that movie back and forth. I'm going to warn you right now, it is not Halle Berry's greatest work, but comedically, it is some of the best. So yeah, those are my three.
She loves that movie. She talks about it all the time. Yeah, it's a time capsule for sure.
So sticking in the vein of The Wood, my three picks are going to be this first one. I was listening to the soundtrack from The Wood, and I noticed that there was a song by Joe called I Wanna Know, which I love that song. Love that song. But I initially heard that song from a different movie, which is Don't Be a Menace While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. One of my favorite 90s Black movies. Also just a great, it's a Wayans Brothers, like, you know, slapstick parody. And I think it just does a great job of commenting on, like, the Boys in the Hood era of movies that we got throughout the 90s. So that's one on there. You mentioned Wesley Snipes. I got to throw out New Jack City. If you haven't seen it, it is Black Scarface. It is a great telling of what, like, the crack era of Brooklyn and what that meant, and, you know, phenomenal soundtrack. I think that movie could be turned into a musical and it would be great. And then my last one, just to put some fucking respect on Omar Epps's name, Higher Learning. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie recently, but, like, this movie tackles so much in terms of racial tensions in college, sexuality, just what it means to, like, expand your world for the first time when you're young and be introduced to people who are so different than you and what that means to you. Just so yeah, those would be
and who would have thought Michael Rapaport would have just been turned out into to be that the character villain? Yes.
Yep.
Oh, Michael Rapaport.
He has lost his fucking mind. My God.
He used to be we talked about this. Tony and I did a coverage of, was it Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah.
And it was like Michael Rapaport used to be who they would hire when they wanted diversity, but they wanted to keep it white. Like, yeah. Michael Rapaport was like a diversity hire that they could get some flavor in that movie and still keep it all white cast.
I think Michael Rapaport is also a great cautionary tale of be careful of who you invite to the cookout, because mm-hmm. for so long he was that person that everyone was like, oh, he can come to the cookout, because he would just shout about sports like really loudly online. But then he started shouting other stuff and we were like, oh, no.
Too much, I don't Michael. Know. I feel like the Black community does not gatekeep hard enough.
I agree, honestly.
We need, like, the cookout. No. I'll tell you about it. I'll send you some pictures.
I'll make you a plate and bring it to your house.
Yeah. My husband ain't allowed. He like, that's for me.
Danielle says sometimes I'm not allowed.
So. The only thing I said you weren't allowed to is if I had a bachelorette party. Because you ain't gonna ride or die.
I don't want to be.
But you know what, sometimes it's fine. Like, sometimes, like, for example, like Siege, like, I feel like, you know, queer spaces where it's like you do your thing, like, it's okay if that's not everything has to be for everybody, you know what I mean? Like, let me in on what you feel comfortable letting me in on, and what you don't is cool too. Like, I think there just needs to be a little bit more respect and leniency for just people having safe spaces.
And yes, I honestly definitely would like to be invited less to white things in general, in a conscious space, not even like physical places. There's a lot that I would love to filter. I would like to not know. You know, I go on this all the time, Jackie. White people, please stop telling me your bathing habits or your non-bathing habits, because...
When did the wash rag become controversial?
What the fuck is that? Y'all need to clean your ass. What are you using?
So insane to me how loudly people will be like, oh yeah, I don't bathe this week. And you're like, you don't have to share everything.
An inside thought. We just keep that to ourselves if we're not going to bathe.
I don't get it. I'll never understand that.
Like, okay, you're not going to use a wash rag, whatever, you're using liquid soap. But there was a time, y'all remember, when everyone was using bar soap. So what were you doing then?
Here's a great example. An episode of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
When Joey and Chandler get in a fight because of, like, the soap. and they start talking about like, what's the first thing that you're cleaning? And it took me a while, years later, before I realized, wait a minute, why is this such a concern? Oh, because they are literally just rubbing the soap bar on their dead ass bodies in cracks and crevices.
No,
but not the legs.
No. You don't wash from the knees down.
Well, why don't you guys tell everybody where they can find you on social?
Well, you can find us at Bruh Meets World or a thing.
Yeah, it's at Bruh Meets World or on YouTube, all of the podcast places, Patreon. You guys come have a conversation with us at BruhMeetsWorld@gmail.com too if you want to talk to us directly.
And as always, you can find us at No More Late Fees on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Threads, Facebook. And stay tuned for our Rewind episode next week as we go back to rediscover 13 Going on 30. And if you haven't yet, go back and check out our episode of The Wood with TC and Siege.
And as always, be kind and rewind.